you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. So good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Reading from Psalm 55, verses 16 and 17. But I call to God, and I say both of those because Mary Ann, I said I'm going to do the one, but I think I want to do the one before just to set the context. So bear with us, everyone. But here's Psalm 55, verses 16 and 17. But I call to God, and the Lord saves me. Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice.
Oh, praise God.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, April 11th, 2022. We have our Bible, or I have my Bible open, as I love to find a verse each and every time we begin this program. And this one crossed our path because it's Monday, and we're continuing with our series from Dave Early's book, Prayer, the Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders. And as been discussed, Mary Ann, we've probably cited this a number of times, we all, to varying degrees, are leaders.
Yes, we are.
We impact people. We influence people. We model Christ in various ways, whether it's through our words or actions or just citing something that we read in the Bible that day or an example that we heard on the radio. And so we're trusting that this book is becoming maybe a great resource for you to hear about or to read and purchase on your own. There are $10 available at the Great News Media Center here at Marketplace Mall, also at our 600 West Mason Street, WLUJ Family of Stations building. In fact, Mary Ann, you don't know this, but we have Handy Mike working on a number of projects there.
Okay.
Recently, he took down this big bush that overcovered. There was a lantern that you couldn't even see because the bush surrounded it.
Did you mean to say covered over?
Yeah, it's like the lantern
I love that word.
Was there, and then this bush kind of encompassed it.
Uh-huh.
It just grew all around it, so you didn't even know there was a lantern there.
Ooh, lanterns. You know what that makes me think of?
The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Yeah, I'll have that announcement in a minute, too. But then as that was taken away, it's like, oh, we need to paint the railings.
Oh, that's
you know, this. And then he's been working on a number of projects. And recently, Tim and Beth went out to get some, I think, flowers, because he also built these three flower planters. These wood configurations that you put flowers in. What are those called? Those wood planters? Planters?
Boxes?
Yeah, wood boxes. But they're
planter
like
boxes?
Ones that, yeah, like
window boxes?
Six, yeah, window boxes, but they're made for being put on the ground
okay.
and in place. And one's like 6 feet long.
Boxes with flowers in them.
And then the other two are like 3 feet. And so it's going to be really beautify the front of the WLUJ Family of Stations.
Nice.
And
I like
else.
That building.
Yeah, well, this will really add. It was his idea, and then we all bought into it, and he custom built these things and painted them, and it's going to be really nice, and we want to have that all ready for the open house that'll be in May at our 600 West Mason Street.
Yeah.
But I had something to tie in with prayer. I can't remember now. Anyways, let's see. 600 West Mason Street, he's beautifying things. He's working there. Handy Mike.
Well,
it might come back to me, but
you can pray about anything.
And was it with you when I was talking about our first engineer? It was Dwayne Parks, Dwayne and Jane Parks.
Okay.
After the program, I thought, oh, Dwayne, I never got to share that he was the first engineer that volunteered 25, 26, 27 years ago. And Roger Weisgarber did a search, a Google search, and he found a story that the News Gazette had printed about Dwayne Parks fixing our transmitter with a cake pan.
Oh, no.
A cake pan lid.
Really?
Because we needed this piece or this component
Y'all
or something
really
that we couldn't
high
have.
Stuff, weren't you?
So we like cut out some of this cake pan lid. And he used that to do something with some component to get us back on the air.
Well,
but it made a News Gazette story, and Roger found that out.
You can trust Roger to find something historical or research.
Yep.
Hi, Roger and Audrey.
Yeah. So anyways, that was kind of great. But yeah, Dwayne Parks was our first engineer. We had this transmitter. I used to say it was like the days of Flash Gordon. Do you remember those days?
Yeah.
Flash Gordon, like zzz, all those buzzing sounds and those big knobs and kind of that scary.
Hi, everybody. You're tuned in to Great News Radio.
Yeah, this is Mark.
Even though we're talking about Flash Gordon.
Yeah, Flash Gordon was...
oh, we are again.
I don't know. That was like from... Is that the 40s or 50s or 60s?
Oh.
It was like, you know, that space travel.
Was
and
it the 50s and 60s?
It was like Lost in Space. It was kind of that.
And there was
But
that.
It was before that.
Yes.
And so Flash Gordon had all those components, but they had the big knobs and all that electrical stuff. Well,
Happy Monday.
Our first transmitter was an old transmitter, and so it reminded me of those days.
Yeah.
Now the transmitters are solid state, much smaller.
Yeah.
Even I can work with them. You plug and play and pull out components. It's very easy to work with. But back in those days, I always was terrified if a capacitor something went out.
At least you're honest.
I had to be the one that had to go in, and it's like you had to make sure everything was shorted or you could get electrocuted. They were dangerous.
I thought the short did electrocute.
Yeah. So, and I was one that didn't have the background, but we didn't have an engineer at the time, and before Dwayne was accessible or available, I had to have somebody talk me through or walk me through how to fix something. And I don't miss those days, but it was a huge transmitter. And so now ours is much smaller and compact and easy to work with. But
we need Tim to go outside and take a picture of the flower boxes and all the things.
Yeah, we'll post that pretty soon.
Yeah,
they're working on that, so I don't know if they have it complete yet, but these are going to be really nice to look at, and we love our location in Springfield. It's right at some crossroads and near a stoplight, and so all these people pass. So Handy Mike came up with the idea. He said it'll really beautify things and catch people's eyes, and it'll be right in front of where Paul works there. He's there every day. So, and we're trying to figure out with the three different boxes, maybe geraniums here and tulips on this end or whatever, and it's way out of my pay grade, but I've let Beth and Tim figure that
Beth
all out.
Beth is very good at decorating.
She
did a lot inside. When I went up there, I was very impressed.
So we'll give that to them to accomplish. Anyways, we're excited about that open house that'll be happening. Oh, back to The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. So
lanterns.
I don't know. I probably had more to say about Handy Mike because he's been doing a lot of different things for us in that building. But as you mentioned, the lantern, yes, there's an invite for all of you to tune in your radios, whether it's on Saturday, April 23rd or Sunday, April 24th. But 4 to 6 p.m., there'll be, if you will, the radio debut of our rendition of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Now, the Great News Radio Theater Troupe's been around for 5 or 6 years, and we did It's a Wonderful Life, and many of you might have heard that last December. But this was in production for almost 2 years because of COVID and having all the musicians and singers together and restrictions and how many people you could have in a room and then just different facets. I think it's taken Les Joy over a year to get 1,000 or so sound effects and all that. I've talked a little bit about that. But you're probably now hearing some of the announcements to tune in because they're very colorful. There's some of the scenes we've worked on that the cast members have memorized or put together. So you're going to hear that, some of the singing. It's a musical. It's a production that was put on stage, and then we've adapted it for radio and purchased the scripts. It was a lot of rigmarole to pull it together. But it's going to be coming on April 23rd and 24th. And I'm thinking I'll have to get to Springfield and also implement this. But if you come by the Great News Media Center here at Marketplace Mall, look behind you. Do you see those packets of popcorn?
Oh, yeah, popcorn.
So
for the
they
movie.
Will get a packet
of
popcorn.
I mean, for the radio drama.
right, because it's a two-hour production.
Yeah, I love radio dramas.
So if you come by here, we'll give you a little invite to tune in. It shows a little graphic, and it talks about this two-hour broadcast, when it is. Almost 60 local cast members worked on this musical production for over a year. Round up your family and friends to enjoy this special broadcast. And so that's the little invite card that people can mail out or hand out, and we've enclosed it in a lot of our mailings. But if you come by here, we'll give you a little packet of popcorn, microwave popcorn, that you can pop up when you listen to this two-hour broadcast. And I'll probably get some of these in Springfield.
Yeah,
so that way,
definitely.
If
people
you stop by, they can also pick up
I
the little
one.
Popcorn.
Yeah.
So. All right. So back to our prayer of the timeless secret of high impact leaders in today's verse. But I call to God and the Lord saves me. Amen. We all want to be calling on the Lord and be saved. But this is the principle that we'll be talking about a bit today. Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress and he hears my voice. Hearing my voice is meaning that God hears our prayers. He listens to them. He responds. He interacts. And prayer is that unique means, methods, a mechanism he put in place so that we can have that relationship and grow to know each other.
It never fails to just send shivers down my spine that God actually is hearing me talk.
Yeah.
To him.
That great, that sovereign, that personal.
I mean,
that's the amazing aspect of the Christian walk that we're on, that we can communicate with this sovereign, awesome God. Not just that things can be said to him, but he responds, that he delights. There's so many different verses in the Bible that he encourages our prayers. He wants us to communicate to him. He delights and expresses emotions. I guess I don't know how you explain it all because he's so beyond our greatest comprehension, but the sovereign, all-powerful God really wants to have that relationship, and prayer is a great way.
All right. Ooh. So this section we're going to read is called Pray Several Times a Day.
Can I get an amen out of that one, somebody? Somebody say, yep, I need to be doing that a little more, or I practice that. There's some people that try to follow the exhortation of Paul to pray without ceasing. Now, that doesn't mean that every minute of every day you're always praying, but you have that spirit, that mindset.
Right.
That as you see something, oh, thank you, God, for the beauty of the handiwork. And then you walk by somebody, Lord, they look like they're struggling. You know, be with that person, you know. Order their steps this very day. And then you experience, a phone call. Lord, whoever's on the other side of that line, you know, may I be a vehicle used of you to help them know that they're loved or they're cared for. And, I mean, they look at every opportunity infuse God into it. And so that's kind of that pray without ceasing. It doesn't mean that you're praying every moment of every day, but that God's very involved in all that you do.
Right. It's always close to your mind. So I like that.
Maybe he'll say something about that.
Yeah, some point.
Yeah.
Okay, so pray several times a day.
Hmm.
A study of the life of highly effective spiritual leaders reveals that many observed a series of set prayer times each day.
Mm-hmm.
The great leader King David mentions that for at least one season of his life, he cried out to God in prayer three times during the day. Morning, noon, and evening. And that's the scripture you read, Psalm 55:17.
Yeah, and I know, Marianne, you and I were talking about that, how the Jewish practice of praying three times a day, and we know the Muslim call to prayer is, I think, maybe four or five times a day.
I don't remember.
So many people have put into place these practices, these disciplines to honor God and to pray first thing in the morning, to pray at maybe the noon hour. We, as Americans, many times have the practice you pray before a meal. So that might be, you know, before breakfast. Certainly, many families pray at dinner time, maybe at lunch. I think if lunch out in a restaurant with friends, we'd always pray. I don't know if I always pray at breakfast. I pray in the morning, but do I pray before I have a bowl of cereal
or
toast?
Are you awake?
I'm not sure. But it's a good practice to, you know, morning, noon, and night.
Jewish-born Daniel was an alien in the foreign pagan land of Babylon. He was an outstanding leader. When trouble hit, it was good that cabinet member Daniel had established a regular ongoing practice of praying three times a day. Daniel 6:10. Possibly because they were motivated by the example of David and Daniel, the pattern of prayer three times daily was adopted by the Jews and was regularly practiced up through the time of the early church. Regarding the Jewish pattern of prayer, Epiphanes speaks of rising up in the morning and in the middle of the day and in the evening three times a day when they say their prayers in the synagogue. That word might be Epiphanius. I don't know if I said it right. The early church continued the practice. For example, Church Father Tertullian, 160 to 225, said explicitly that we must always pray, and adds these significant words: as regards the time, there should be no lax observation of certain hours. I mean of those common hours which have long marked the divisions of the day, the third, the sixth, the ninth, which we may observe in Scripture to be more solemn than the rest. At the time he wrote those words, the day started at 6 a.m. Therefore, the third, the sixth, and the ninth hours represented 9 a.m., noon, and 3 p.m. Many of the early church leaders observed more than three daily prayer times. For example, Hippolytus, 235, in the beginning of the 3rd century spoke of praying 6 times a day.
Hey, I'm going to go back to, as I'm looking at that, at 6, 9, noon, and 3 p.m., and I was thinking, well, why did they stop at 3? Why not like 6 or 7? But I was just thinking, way back then, they didn't have indoor lighting like we had. They had oil lamps and such, but many times because of weather or circumstances, their day stopped much earlier. I was just trying to think, why 3 in the afternoon? But, you know, it starts getting dark out. They don't have the air conditioning, or circumstances were so much different than us that maybe that was the optimal times. And then, you know, the evening was darker or not as convenient or time to sleep, or maybe it was so hot in the late afternoon. I don't know.
I don't know.
See those times and think, why stop at 3? Why
well,
not?
Well, we're about to read about Hippolytus, who did not stop at 3.
Okay,
he says, many of the early church leaders observed more than 3 daily prayer times. For example, Hippolytus, 235, in the beginning of the 3rd century, spoke of praying 6 times a day. So there you go.
Yeah.
We're adding on. If you are home, pray, this is a quote, if you are home, pray at the 3rd hour and bless God. But if you're somewhere else, then pray to God in your heart. Pray likewise at the 6th hour. Let a great prayer and a great blessing be offered also at the 9th hour. Pray as well before your body rests on its bed. But toward midnight, rise up, wash your hands, and pray. And at the cock crow, rise up and pray once more.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
At the age of 25, Adoniram Judson, he's very famous, 1788 to 1850, was the first Protestant missionary sent from North America to minister in Burma, now known as Myanmar. Although he waited 6 years for his first convert, he later planted churches and translated the Bible into Burmese. Sometime after his death, a government survey recorded 210,000 Christians, one out of every 58 Burmese.
Wow.
Judson's advice to rising spiritual leaders is very challenging. Pray 7 times a day. Moving on here, wow. And this is a quote from him. Endeavor 7 times a day to withdraw from business and company and lift up thy soul to God. Begin the day by rising after midnight and devoting some time amid the silence and darkness of the night to this sacred work. I like that. Let the hour of opening dawn find thee at the same work. Let the hours of 9, 12, 3, 6, and 9 at night.
There's my answer.
Yeah. Witness the same, mind you. Be resolute in thy cause. Make all practical sacrifices to maintain it. Consider that thy time is short, and that business and company must not be allowed to rob thee of thy God. Whoa. Okay. These people prayed. Adoniram Judson. Okay, here's another section that comes right after that. It's kind of short. I think we have time.
Yeah.
Determine an amount of time to pray. Effective spiritual leaders not only establish a time for prayer, but they also usually set an amount of time. Most set aside an hour. Many set aside even longer.
You know, on Friday's program, I even mentioned that, taking those baby steps. Maybe this whole concept of prayer is new to you. Don't worry about spending like 6 times a day, an hour each time. Start with maybe just a few minutes. Maybe just saying the Lord's Prayer. That might be like 36 seconds. You know,
That's right.
The intention is just getting to know God and just talking with Him. So start maybe just a few minutes each day and see how God leads.
Yeah. Okay, this is a quote then. I imagine that the pattern of spending an hour in prayer goes back to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus confronted the sleeping apostle Peter. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Could you men not watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Matthew 26, 40 and 41. Many have taken this question personally. That's interesting. And have made the effort to give God an hour of prayer each day. Think about it. An hour a day would add up to 365 hours a year, or the equivalent of more than 45 8-hour days.
Wow.
That's a month and a half a year spent in prayer. Just think what God could do through you, for you, and in you, and those you pray for, if you prayed an hour every day. Whoa.
Yeah, you know, I've
That's convicting.
And I've never thought about that, where he said, could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour?
I hadn't thought about he prayed for the hour.
Yeah, but that they had quantified it, you know, said, here's an example,
yeah.
you know, or seemingly the intention was that hour was going to be spent praying. Could
well,
you not have watched during
hopefully
that
Hopefully he didn't pray for like 4 or 5 hours and at least say, couldn't you have at least stayed
yeah,
1 hour? But
right.
still, it's really something to follow. That's pretty amazing. Could
yeah.
you not pray with me 1 hour?
And how it would add up
I
to
know.
Be more than 45 8-hour days.
Yeah, a month and a half of a year spent in prayer. All right.
Wow.
Just think what God could do through you, for you, and in you. And those you pray for, if you prayed an hour every day.
Hmm.
Okay, I take that as very convicting personally.
Yeah, very good. Good, healthy conviction. Get
yeah.
us thinking and pondering and asking God, might you be speaking to my heart? Might you be stirring in me? Even if it was a half hour a day. Or maybe just today you start a practice of 5 minutes each day.
There's something powerful in getting started.
Yeah, yeah. So mm-hmm. we would recommend it. In this book, it's available for $10 at both our Champagne Studios here at Marketplace Mall, or also at the 600 West Mason Street in Springfield, and we hope that you pick up a copy. They're $10. I think they're usually like $17 or $19, but we got a discounted price, and I think we only have about 6 or 8 left, but get your copy and read along with us on Mondays.
Come and say hi.
Come and say hi, and pick up some microwave popcorn.
That too.
And join us on Saturday, April 23rd, and Sunday, April 24th. It's a 2-hour special, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, as retold by the Great News Radio Theater Troupe, 4 to 6 p.m., and you can pop that popcorn up and enjoy it. I know Dee got it and already popped it up and
oh,
ate it.
She did.
So it's
that's
like,
great.
She said, that's
Why
very
not?
Good. It's really good popcorn, so we'll have that waiting for you. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you. Have a great day and night.
You may see her in children, or in the city, 9 to 5 each working day. She's a mother, or a teacher, or a woman all alone, but she's someone else entirely when she prays. She's a